The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to The Dory Monson Show with me, Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory. Day three in the saddle. Don't worry. You're tired of Jason Matera. You got Dory back in the chair tomorrow. Although it's been a wonderful pleasure to work with you, Nicole, and even though you deserted me on Friday, I will forgive you. Went into Vegas, and you know, at Aaron had to hold, you know, make sure that the train didn't go off the tracks, and he did successfully.
I put him up to it.
He did. There we go. So, by the way, if you go in Vegas, you have to come back with a story. Do you have a?
No, you know it. I was going to try to come, you know, make something big out of a big story, but or out of a little story, but there's really not
there's
too
nothing,
much.
Nothing big.
And I am quite tan. It was my last, you know, sun tan of the summer, I guess.
Okay.
And that's about all I did. I played some bingo.
You played bingo? What are you, Medicare age?
I know.
Come on.
I played bingo. There was a bowling alley and some slots.
Did you put up bumpers for the bowling alley? You put up bumpers?
No, of course not.
Why not? There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing embarrassing about that.
We'll agree to disagree.
Okay. All right, so no Vegas story for us.
No, but it was great. It was relaxing and sunny and, that.
It's always sunny there. Yeah.
Well, actually, that's not true. There was a big rainstorm that came through and kicked us out of the pool on Friday and blew all the chairs into the pool.
But how long do their rainstorms last?
Right? I know, they just kind of come in and go out.
Yeah, I know. Gotcha. Well, it's great to have you back in. So you actually heard a news report coming into this segment about Jay Inslee, who blaming Idaho. And by the way, you go to Idaho after spending time in Washington, it's like you're in Narnia because it is a free state. But you hear Inslee blaming Idaho for an impact on Washington hospitals in the eastern part of the state, that Idaho is, their hospital system is melting down. They're in crisis mode. And this is all because people are refusing the government jab, all because people are refusing to mask themselves, double mask themselves, perhaps, while they're outdoors and indoors, unlike, you know, the sophisticated people in Washington state who wear the mask all the time as a signal of how they are supporters of science. So anyway, we know that there's always hyperbole in many of these reports. So I wanted to bring on someone in the program. You're well familiar, very familiar with him. And he knows a lot about Washington state politics and Idaho politics, and to get his thoughts about what is actually going down in Idaho. And that is none other than my main man, Todd Herman, who hosts a show on 770 KTTH from 6 to 9 a.m. every single morning. Todd, welcome to the Dory Monson Show with me, Jason Matera.
It's great to be back, Jason. Appreciate it. I heard that particular news piece and I laughed and giggled and actually spit a kidney out my mouth because Jay Inslee has literally no idea how many people have had COVID flu in Washington state. Literally none. The numbers are fraudulent. I've had a guest on my show who's an expert on data and has many doctorates. And Washington state knows they do not know the level of testing done in 97.5% of the cases, this junk PCR tests. They have no idea if it's 40 cycles. If it is, if it's above 35, it's 98% false positives. Even the New York Times admits that. I'm telling you a fact. Jay Inslee in the Washington State Department of Health literally have no idea how many people have had the COVID flu or how many people have died from it because they have no insight into 97.5% of the testing. So woke mass dictator's a liar. Just get that out.
Let me ask you about what's going on in Idaho, specifically Coeur d'Alene.
Sure.
And it's a very famous destination for retirees, those who are vacationing. And Inslee is blaming those in Coeur d'Alene who refuse to get the government jab and refuse to mask up as impacting Washington hospitals, and that northern Idaho hospitals are being overrun. What are you hearing?
Well, a couple things. First of all, that's a fascinating theory, given that the mRNA injections neither stop transmission nor infection. and appear to be failing against the Delta variant. So it's a fascinating theory that a thing that doesn't work is the fault of people in Idaho. There's two doctors in my prayer group. And both of them have said, yep, there's some COVID cases and Delta has become serious. But there's also a huge backlog of people who didn't get health care for kids with RSV, which comes around this year. It's unseasonally, but it's delayed. There's people who didn't get care for stroke symptoms and for heart attack symptoms. And they're seeing a big backlog of people now coming into the hospital because all of a sudden the panic porn is less. So they'll go into the hospital and get checked. That exists. One of the big frustrations I've heard from doctors locally is they can't get therapeutics prescribed. That they're under threat, like a lot of doctors elsewhere, to prescribe ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, which are both very successful. You know, ivermectin's a Nobel Prize winning horse paste. Oh, pardon me, it's also for humans. And they have a frustration that they can't get people early treatment, so people are coming in sick. So there's a lot to this. There are COVID cases, right? And they're made worse by the fact that it's almost functionally illegal to treat them with therapeutics. So there's that. And, you know, in Washington State, King County, 40% of the cases now are people who've had the mRNA injection. So I don't know that I don't see how Idaho is causing this problem, Jason.
Well, it's interesting, too, because you read many stories on Idaho and these surging cases and hospitals being overwhelmed. And then you have to get down to almost like, you know, paragraph 18 to find out in some of these hospitals, they have staffing shortages as well, and significant ones. And so that may also be something to take into account, but it's never the lead that there are staffing shortages that may be taking into account with some of these surges and all the other viruses that you had mentioned, as well as people making their way back to the hospitals. It is the panic porn to get people to give up their freedoms. But it's not just about giving up their freedoms. Now it's tarnishing people. And this is what the AP did, which I think is so odious. I'm not surprised it came from them. But I want your reaction. The AP recently, September 12th, so yesterday, ran a story. And I'm going to read the opening paragraph to you, because this is how they're painting people in such nasty terms now. Northern Idaho has a long and deep streak of anti-government activism that has confounded attempts to battle a COVID-19 outbreak, overwhelming hospitals in the deeply conservative region. And then it goes on, next paragraph, and the area was for a long time, this is Northern Idaho, the area was for a long time the home of the Aryan Nations, whose leader envisioned a white homeland in the country that is now among the worst hit by the coronavirus pandemic. So now here it is, Todd Herman. If you are skeptical of getting the government jab in your arm for whatever the reason, I don't care what the person's reason, it's their reason. You're skeptical of that. If you don't want to wear a mask indoors and outdoors, then, oh, you must be a white supremacist.
Well, that's scientifically factual.
Yes.
I'm not surprised. And it's so fascinating because over the weekend at our church, we talked about critical race theory. And our pastor said, look, there is a fact that there was a racist group here. There's still racists around the country. You know, Seattle and Washington State prefers to have Black Lives Matter Incorporated, which is a domestic terror group that kills black people and black cops and responsible for the lives of black kids and has cops, you know, nearly baseball batted to death in the streets of Seattle. They prefer that form of racism and violence because that's the fancy form. That's good because that sort of racism is good. Our pastor pointed out the Aryan Nations were here, and thank goodness they're gone and good riddance. And I grew up here when they were here. And that was, you know, I'm 106 years old. And we hated them. We clowned on them when they were here. So this, I don't know what anti-government means, because I will tell you that the support for law enforcement in Kootenai County, where I live, there's Blue Lives Matter flags everywhere. And in terms of racism, we just, at this church, we just talked about the reality of racism, that it's a human sickness, that it's the problem of sin, which we're not to talk about in Washington State, because, of course, Jay Inslee hates religion. He's made clear, let's make religious exemptions impossible to get. Salvation begins with a V. Salvation is now an injection. So he's made that clear. So I would tell you this. You want to know where I learned about, let me tell you, you want to know where I learned about anti-government in Idaho, Jason? You want to know the heritage of that for me?
Yeah.
All right. So we were on our land in Idaho, and a federal land inspector, kind of federal dude, came over to talk about watershed on our property. And Grandpa walked up to him and said, I will listen to you about watershed if you can go turn on any one of those pieces of equipment over there. And it was logging gear. Just turn one on. Just one. Sir, I don't run equipment. So, but you're here to tell me how to deal with my watershed. You're here to tell me that I'm irresponsible. You don't know how to turn that. Get him a chainsaw. This was funny. Someone get him a, do you know how to start a chainsaw? And the guy didn't know how to start a chainsaw. He didn't know. Jason, it's a pole start chainsaw. But he didn't want to hurt himself. So, like, my grandpa's handed him thing. The guy acts like it's a python, a poisonous python. Grandpa says, son, it's not going to bite you. It's an engine. It has to be turned on. I just don't, I don't work with equipment.
I just regulate. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, hey, you know, let me try your clipboard, son, because maybe I can figure out how to run the clipboard. So that was my experience with this. And a government's a meaningless phrase. What you have in Idaho, which is changing to some degree, is you have a lot of people who own land, and consequently they monetize that land with hobby farms or real farms or ranches. They do things on their own. So when you have people who earn a living coming along and bossing, they're kind of saying, wait a minute, you weren't here when I had to build the fence, but you're now here to tell me how to treat my cows?
Yeah. I know. And that type of top down bureaucracy, which incompetent boobs throughout the federal government, is what American business owners have to deal with on a daily basis, unfortunately. But it is just remarkable that the AP is going back to 1992.
Right.
30 years. They're going back 30 years about some whack job Aryan Nation head, and somehow that is reflective of today and why people refuse to get a brand new experiment, which government jab, which, as you noted, does not actually stop you from getting or transmitting the virus. Now, speaking of transmitting, getting the virus, it's been clear between numerous studies, and there was the big one that was done out of Israel, that natural immunity is actually fully orbed and far more robust than getting a government jab. First of all, those who have recovered from COVID successfully, there's really no need to. In fact, if they do get the vaccination, that can cause inflammation, so there can be some heightened side effects. But Anthony Fauci, right? We've been under this
Dr.
pandemic.
Tony Fauci.
That's right. For 18
yes.
months, we've been under this for 18 months. On I think it was on Friday, he is asked by Sanjay Gupta, out of all people, right? He's asked on CNN, hey, what about natural immunity? You keep talking about vaccinations, but what about people who, you know, who've recovered naturally from COVID, do they need to get the vaccination? And I wish I had the audio for you, but he basically
said, you know, Jason, I'm not really prepared to discuss at the moment because, I have a number on my head with the pharmaceutical companies, and I've got a big, oh, did I say that part out loud about the commissions? Can we start again? Plus, I forgot to put on my woke mask. How was that?
Oh, we don't know if they're durable, too, as we tell Sanjay Gupta. I don't know if they're durable. I don't know. We don't know if they're long-lasting. We don't know if they're long-lasting. But you think you have 18 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
18 months, and he can't give a firm answer on natural immunity? Now, we know he can, right? We know he has the data. We know he knows the science behind it, but it doesn't comport with his mass vaccination agenda. But this just strikes... I was surprised the question was asked by Sanjay Gupta, but... at some point, Fauci's going to have to address it, because if we're going down the path of show me your papers, then somebody's going to have to explain why my papers can't be a natural form of immunity from recovering from COVID.
Well, yes. And I'm glad you mentioned that. I would mention as well, there was a big study. It's a sizable study that was published in The Telegraph. They didn't do the study, but they published it. Teenage boys are six times more likely to suffer from heart problems from the mRNA injections, the gene therapies. Moderna called it a gene therapy in their SEC filing. Causes your gene to produce a foreign body called a spike protein, which happens to be cytotoxins. So this is a major study. They found this out, but they're obsessed with shoving this into the arms of kids. This departed medical, scientific, healthcare rigor a long time ago. And to go back to your piece about the AP, you know, they drive by flyover countries, states like Idaho, and they look at us like zoo animals. And I invite them to come and find out that Dr. Ryan Cole, who is one of the top immunologists in the United States of America, is in Idaho Falls. He has one of the top immunology labs in the entire nation. And they should have him on, Matera. You guys should get him on, because he's been around the globe warning about these injections and these effects, like this myocarditis and pericarditis, the swelling of the heart or the sac around the heart in these teen boys. But they're obsessed with shoving this into arms, right? So, and I don't think he's a drooling redneck. And this is how they treat countries like this. And they wonder why there's this divorce. They wonder why people in Idaho don't watch AP News or expose themselves to the mainstream media, because they hate us. I mean, that's why it is.
Well, yeah, they wonder why there's such a distrust with the CDC and Anthony Fauci. It's the same CDC that says that racism is a public health issue, right? As though you can contract racism, or using the phrase birthing people instead of mothers, right? Or tackling gun violence. You know why people, especially conservatives, don't, and it's not just conservatives, a lot of Black Americans, mostly Black Americans, minorities, who are very distrustful of vaccinations because of their history involved with it. But you know why there's distrust is because they can't even be honest about something like a motherhood, right? They can't even be honest about something about gender. And yet you want me to inject a brand new, total, without any long-term effects studies noted on it, an injection into my arm because you said the science says so. Okay, well, what does the science say about birthing people? What does the science say about gender, right? What does the science say, Anthony Fauci?
Right. Well, this is how I boil this down to people. You know, I will not be taking the mRNA injections, period. Presidential diktat, gubernatorial diktat, not happening. Because there's too many lies. When they try to pretend that we don't have immune systems, or they change the definition of vaccine midstream, here's a great way that I explain this absurdity to people. Imagine Jason Matera, you're a new parent, like you're in the hospital, you're talking to the doctor, you say, "Doctor, my son got a swolled heart from eating peanuts. He just about died. What should we do?" "Well, what I would do is wait for his heart to go back to normal size, Jason, then give him a second bag of peanuts." This is literally what Fauci is saying about kids who get swollen hearts, myocarditis. "Well, he survived it the first time. Let's see what happens the second time, because we might get that heart really blown up. And that'd be pretty funny because it ain't my kid."
Yeah. Yet you have parents, and we did a story last week, I'm sure you've seen it, parents in the Seattle area are lying about their children's ages so they can get the vaccination early. And like they probably think it's noble. It's amazing. It's not even approved yet, but let me go ahead and lie about their age. I'm going to say they're under, I'm going to say they're 12 and over, so they may be 10, but they, she looks 12. Let's just get the, let's get the jab in her arm. And oh yeah, it's just the NIH is now, right? They're now studying the effects on a possible effects on a woman's cycle after distribution. But, let's just do it.
A second. I got a militia meeting. I'm sorry. The troop carrier's here for my militia meeting.
They're there to get
you? Yeah, we're headed up into the woods. We're going to set off some, throw some grenades at some out-of-towners.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good luck. All the white supremacists that are there apparently influencing COVID-19 hesitancy, just say hi for them.
That's who we're throwing the grenades at.
The white supremacists. You're going to go do that? Okay.
Toss them at them.
Okay. Toss the mRNA. Just jab them and we can study the effects on them. Todd Herman, we appreciate you coming on the Dory Monson Show with me, Jason Matera. Always great to hear your voice, my friend. And keep kicking butt. All right. When we return, we have more norms restored. Biden plans to attack the filibuster in a last-ditch effort to pass a massive voting overhaul that would federalize elections. We got that and a lot more when we return on the Dory Monson Show with me, Jason Matera. And we are back. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory Monson, day three. Yes, toasting for Dory. And, something popped up in my feed, and it's an insane analysis or insane poll, or the results, I should say, of this poll are insane. And it just shows you how frayed and fractured we are as a country. And this is done by Rasmussen. They asked Democrat voters and Republican voters the biggest threats to the country. And 57% of respondents, Democrat respondents, registered voters, believe that Donald Trump supporters are a serious threat to the nation, 57%. Only 44% thought that the Taliban, which now controls Afghanistan, was a threat. Only 44% thinks China is a threat, and only 37% think Russia is a threat. I don't know how much of a threat the Taliban is yet, although I'm sure they will be a threat. But China, you mean Trump supporters are more dangerous than jihadists over in Afghanistan? More of a threat to the nation? Trump supporters are more of a threat than the Chinese government, the communist Chinese government that unleashed the virus on the world out of Wuhan? It's hard to imagine how the country continues if we look at someone who voted differently than us and say, worse than the Taliban, worse than the Chinese government. You mean it? Because then when you put someone in that category, you can devalue their contributions to the country, you can dehumanize them, and it is the first step in a process of stripping people of their rights. But we have guns here, so that won't happen anytime soon. All right, Biden is planning a last-ditch effort to pass this massive voting rights. Well, they say voting rights, it's a misnomer, voting rights. No one is obstructed in their right to vote today, but that's how the left frames it, to pass a massive voting rights bill, which would federalize elections. So all the shenanigans and the unfair election practices that happened in the 2020 election, and there were many of them, right, where you had governors or secretary of states just unilaterally rewriting election law and denuding, really, defanging integrity at the polls by having these mass mail-in ballots, stripping signature verifications or other verifications, having ballot harvesting and collections and dropping it off, drive-by voting, all this stuff that certainly added, and as we're seeing, added to more votes either being cast than people who reported living in an area, or votes with no chain of custody, or votes that were undeliverable for the mail-in portions. And that's happening across the country in investigations after the fact. But now, so Biden wants to ditch the filibuster. And this is a man who said he was going to restore the norms. And yet he is going to making his last ditch effort to repeal the filibuster. The filibuster has always made the Senate a place of deliberation. It's different from the House of Representatives. House of Representatives is always about the majority, right? Whatever the majority wants, they will pass. The Senate is different. The Senate is you have to have 60 votes, and that is supposed to induce a collaborative process. It's supposed to induce a diplomatic process. It's supposed to induce like, hey, you want this? Okay, well, let's negotiate. You want this? Then we want this. And that's why the Senate moves more slowly than the House of Representatives. What this man, Biden, wants to do, said he's going to restore norms. He's going to bring competency back to the White House, is planning this last move to repeal the filibuster so they can pass by a 51-vote margin a federalized election. That is not elections run by localities and states, but the federal government. And you thought 2020 was bad and there were a lot of, funny business going on. Just wait till we have a federalized election for Mr. Norms, right? I'm going to restore the norms. I'm going to restore competency back to the White House. No, he's going to try to manufacture a continuance of fraud and steal your vote and defang voting integrity at the polls. Okay, when we come back, we have awesome audio. Biden is just getting crushed at these college football games while Trump, where he goes, is getting praise. We got that when we return. I'm Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. We'll be back in a flash. Welcome back. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory Monson. And we got a lot of awesome audio for you. This one is awesomely...
Wait. What? You want me to help you with this?
What do I have to say now?
How do we do it? Hey, Sean, can we get to awesome audio?
Oh, okay. Well, I heard the bumper that said awesome audio. And now this actually...
Oh, did you already play it, Sean? No, he didn't do it.
He just said, okay, there was not a bumper.
You heard the
this
sponsor.
The sponsor, this awesome audio was brought to you. So, okay. All right, Sean, let's get to awesome audio.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio. Clips of the day.
See, it wasn't that hard.
I wasn't that great.
We never so did, much
we
better
never,
now.
We never did that on Friday.
So compelling now.
We didn't do that on Friday. That was much better. That is true. All right, so we have one hiccup. 3 days, we have one hiccup right at the end of the show. Right at the end of the segment before I sign off. This teacher who decided, I don't know why teachers are going on TikTok. Those are like teenagers and them doing their, you know, silly stuff. But
I know, isn't it supposed to be just for fun stuff, silly stuff?
But yeah, we have teachers all the time going on TikTok, pledging loyalty now to Antifa, bragging how they're indoctrinating students, taking down the American, they're advertising this on TikTok as though no one's going to see it. I'm glad they're doing it because we're able to smoke them out, or they're smoking themselves out. We can pinpoint which teachers are not interested in education or educating children, but inculcating them with progressive orthodoxy. But anyway, here's a teacher, as we memorialize the 20th anniversary of 9/11, who goes on a rant about how Bin Laden won, that the terrorists actually won because of January 6th and the mostly peaceful riot that occurred at the Capitol. If you don't follow the logic, don't worry. We're not, you know, it's hard for us to follow, too.
Flight 93, I explained to the kids, right? I'm like, they took the plane. You know, they fought the hijackers and they crashed the plane into the field and they protected the U.S. Capitol. Like, their last act as Americans on this earth was to protect the seat of our democracy, to protect the U.S. Capitol. And I said those words and it was like in real time in my brain, I realized that 20 years after, they gave their lives to protect the U.S. Capitol from a terrorist attack. 20 years later, it was our own citizens that smashed the windows, threw the flag on the ground, and literally rubbed on the walls. And if that doesn't tell you that Osama won...
One of those things is not like the other. Let's see. Flying planes into buildings and smashing windows. Okay. I don't condone the windows that were smashed. Nicole, can we call it a mostly peaceful riot on January 6th? That's what they do with all the BLM marches and riots. Right? It was mostly peaceful. It was just fiery riot. You know, mostly peaceful. The cars burning in the back. Yeah, it's a mostly peaceful riot. Mostly peaceful riot, mostly peaceful protest that took place on January 6th. But apparently the terrorists won because some windows were smashed. By the way, most of these people don't even know. The vast majority of individuals arrested for January 6th have been arrested on misdemeanor charges of trespassing. Very few felonies. And by the way, if someone committed a felony, they should be arrested and prosecuted for such. But most of them is just very, very minor misdemeanor trespassing charges, which are not comparable to the terrorist act of flying a building into the Pentagon or flying planes into the Pentagon or flying them into the Twin Towers. And yet this person is teaching students. Good for us. Good for us. Okay. Biden continues to get roasted at college football games. Here is what the crowd, mostly made up of students, chanted at the Virginia Tech game over the... We have the beeps in here, right? Nicole? We have the beeps?
I don't want to put...
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Joe Biden!
I love it. Okay. All right. Then this is Coastal Carolina, and they decided to go with the similar chant.
Joe Biden!
And then here's Alabama State, their crowd.
Joe Biden! Joe Biden! Joe Biden!
Oh, man. You know why? He's targeting the South, right? In his administration, Anthony Fauci is like horrified, breathing in a paper bag every time he sees a college football game because of the crowds. Oh, my gosh, the crowds. This is going to continue. I'm telling you, we're going to have week after week. It's going to catch on. I think more schools are going to do it. And it's funny, but it's also surprising in this sense, Nicole, is usually young people, the Generation Zs or, you know, millennials, they're considered in the pocket of Democrat Party officials. And yet, I don't remember anything like this with Donald Trump. I don't remember anything like this with Barack Obama. What?
You don't remember any negativity towards Trump?
Any college football stadiums, not negativity, chanting this in a large... You have thousands of kids.
Yes, I know, but I'm sure that there was definitely some backlash.
I don't know. Oh, there was obviously backlash, mostly from, you know, the middle-aged women with purple hair who teach gender studies. But Obama. All right, let's say I don't remember kids chanting this with Obama.
But that might just be a difference in the way that they express, right? So the people that didn't like Trump, you know.
But I'm saying young people. The demographic is what is surprising.
Yeah, but it's a football loving crowd, I guess, in this case, which is why football, the NFL, maybe this is kind of the difference between those audiences that we should think about or look at.
So
or maybe
saying,
that's why the NFL is actually, hurting right now.
Losing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No black national anthem being played at college football to segregate people on the basis of race. But there we go. That's not the best Joe Biden audio that we have from over the weekend. Biden attends a 9/11 tribute in New York. And I'm a New Yorker.
Born I know this guy kind of sounds like you.
I don't think
Were
he sounds real like my accent.
You've
has,
been living here too
My
long.
Accent has waned over the years. I've been here almost 10 years. It's waned over the years. These guys sound like, you know, they sound like they're on the set of the Goodfellas or something. So Biden gets booed, and wait to the very end, because the very end is the money portion where I laughed out loud.
Boo! You're a mutt for what you did to Afghanistan. Terrible, terrible.
Don't sniff him.
Terrible.
Don't sniff her. And if you watch the video, Biden is greeting a female. Don't sniff her. Don't. Oh, man. That is what is following Joe Biden is the creepy, the whispers and the sniffing. But there we go. He thought he was going to get a rousing. I don't know what he thought. I don't even know. Do you know if I wonder if Biden knew where he was?
I don't know.
They had to remind him. This was an early event, though, not an evening event. All his events are early. You know, Sundown Joe, it's past 5 o'clock.
I'm sure he was told where he was.
He's told? I'm sure he was told, too.
I don't know if he remembered it in that moment.
How many times was he told? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Biden gets booed, and there are these F you Biden or F Biden chants that are going on in college football stadiums around the country. Trump, though, was at a UFC event in Florida over the weekend, and here is how the crowd greeted him.
We're just honored. We're just honored. Thank you.
We love Trump. We love Trump. That's what everybody's saying in the audience. I don't think I hear that back home. Everybody's screaming right now.
What an ego boost that must have been, right? For his already inflated ego.
I was going to say.
For his already inflated ego, the guy has a stadium, a crowd of people chanting, "We love Trump." Anyway, thank you, Nicole, for hosting me over
the
last...
Thank you, Jason.
Well, I was going to say 3 days, but you really abandoned me one day.
I did.
You did it.
Sorry about that.
Sean, thank you.
No problem.
I've enjoyed my time thoroughly hosting Dory's show over the last 3 days, and I hope you've enjoyed it as well. You can reach out to me over social media. Jason Matera, 2 T's is the handle. And until next time, you got Dory back tomorrow, and he's going to have a lot to say. So stay tuned. Tom and Curly up next.
You about to break yourself. Believe that. Bye, Felicia.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.